overview of what synthetic humans are. And synthetic humans is a concept that's been around for a really long time. It's not new. And the idea is that, you know, there are features and behaviors of human beings that computers can mimic. And in order to mimic that, you need extremely high-powered 3D computer graphics. So if you take a look, in fact, you know, just spin around while we're in Second Life right now. You know, just use your arrow keys to look around and just observe the things that are around us. And my guess is you're not going to be convinced that you're actually in a real environment here. It looks cartoony. And the reason it looks cartoony is that this tool, Second Life, is designed to be played or utilized by as many people as possible. And in order for it to be available to as many people as possible, it lowers the bar in terms of graphics quality. So if I have an old computer, you know, 4 or 5 years old, I can still use Second Life. But in order to allow people who have older machines to play Second Life, they reduce the complexity of the graphics in general. They lower the bar. And so what I'd like you to do is to just take a second and move into mouse view mode. And mouse view mode, you might remember, is also known as mouse look. Go under the view menu. So go to the view menu and choose mouse look. Now that moves you into a real true first person perspective. That means that I'm looking at the virtual world through my own virtual eyes, not over the back or the shoulder, which is the typical way of looking inside of Second Life. So now that you've done that, go ahead, you can get close to my avatar. So step on up close to me and look at my face. And then look at each other's faces. And you could take a moment to spend and just, you know, take a minute to look at everybody's face. Take a look at that. And as you're looking at that, consider what it is about this face that is obviously not real. You know, what are the giveaways in terms of the obvious places that this is not a human being, but it is in fact a digital character? Well, it has an awful lot to do with the quality of the rendering. In fact, it has everything to do with that. If you get up close and look at the face, you'll see that it's really just a solid mass of color and some color for the eyes, and it looks like a cartoon drawing more than anything. And in order to create real, or at least realistic looking, synthetic humans, we need better rendering, better computer drawing than what is happening inside of Second Life. And this has been possible for a very long time. It just hasn't been possible in real time. And again, the distinction between real time and offline rendering is that in real time, as you move around and as the environment changes, it's rendered or drawn. Every pixel on the screen is rendered or drawn from a new perspective based on where your eyes are, your virtual eyes, also known as the camera, is in that scene. And that takes a lot of compute power. It's a lot easier if I have all this 3D data and I'm not moving around at all. It's fixed. It's in one viewpoint, one camera perspective. I could take that and I could tell my computer, hey, render this. And then I could walk away. And I could come back an hour later. I could come back a day later. I could come back a week later. But I could give my computer as much time as it needs to sit and really do a high quality job drawing all the pixels of the environment and all the pixels of the character. And so this is how 3D generated synthetic human beings have been created for a long time, is that they've been pre-rendered. They've been rendered offline. And usually it's one computer spending a great deal of time rendering, or it's a bunch of computers known as a grid or known as a render farm all working together. So you could have hundreds, maybe even thousands of computers all crunching that same 3D data to arrive at a picture of a human being, or to arrive at a movie like you have in the movie theaters. And so there's a fundamental problem of trying to create synthetic humans that look good in real time, and that's a matter of compute power. But if you look at what is happening today and you look at the trends, you know, the trend of computing has been for the longest time something called Moore's Law. And Moore's Law has said that the density of the transistors on a microprocessor double every 18 months, which in turn doubles the speed of the CPU, the microprocessor, every 18 months, for the same cost. So Moore's Law has been around since the 60s. It was a statement made and an observation made by Gordon Moore, one of the pioneers in the field of compute technology, and specifically in creating CPUs. And he said, or observed, that look, you know, every 18 months, every year and a half or so, we're getting twice the performance out of our computing chips, and it's not costing us any more. And that has gone on and been tracked over a long period of time to hold true. That's why for the longest period of time, everybody knew that if you bought a computer in 2 years, it would be obsolete and the newest thing would be much faster for the same price. Well, that particular trajectory went on for a long time. That happened and continued to happen for a long time. And then in the last decade, 3D computer graphics was introduced to the equation. Now, 3D had always been put aside, and it was for the elite up until about the mid-90s. It really was for the elite. It was either in the hands of scientists, or in the hands of researchers, or in the military's hands. 3D computer graphics on the desktop was just pretty much unheard of until gaming came along. A company called id Computing came along, id Software, and they introduced Doom and Quake and Castle Wolfenstein on desktop computers in the mid-90s. And that started this whole chain reaction of companies trying to make money selling video games, and that pushed the industry, the computing industry, to sink a lot of investment into 3D accelerators. And so over the last decade, the concept of a GPU, a graphics processing unit, has arisen, and you now have a complement to your CPU. So the Intel Pentium or an AMD chip, you know, the Intel Inside campaign has made everybody pretty much aware that there's a central processing unit, a CPU, that does the bulk of work inside of your computer. But there's also now, in almost every single computer, something called the GPU, a graphics processing unit. And its whole focus is 3D computer graphics. Its whole job is to accelerate 3D. And what it's done is it's allowed us to get to a stage where if you go buy a state-of-the-art computer and you sink down a fair investment in it, so you're not buying a low-end or middle-end machine, but you're buying a top-notch computer, you get in that computer an enormous amount of processing power on the CPU, and you also get inside there a very fast video card. And you can take that video card and upgrade it and buy a couple thousand dollar high-end graphics workstation video card and put that in there. And suddenly what you have is the ability to create cinematic quality synthetic humans. And they look nothing like the Second Life characters or avatars that we're used to. They look cinematic. You know, there's still some obvious giveaways, so it's not perfect. But, you know, the fact of the matter remains, with a modest investment, you can create graphic human beings, synthetic human beings, on a desktop computer using off-the-shelf technology. You just go buy a brand new computer, state-of-the-art. You may be able to do it with a video card that's in there, and if that video card is not fast enough, you pop that out and you buy a new one and sync it in. And for a total investment of less than $5,000, you can create what are known as cinematic quality human beings. And that means not just the humans, but the entire environment. Everything that you're looking at looks like you may as well be at the movies. And that is a fundamental change in virtual reality and virtual worlds. And what happens is, of course, every 18 months, the CPU doubles in time, but 3D technology, that GPU, doubles in power every 9 months. So it's cut that equation in half. So now you don't even have to wait a year. You know, every 9 months, that computer, you know, go buy a brand new computer, that computer every 9 months is twice as fast for the same cost as one that was sold 9 months prior. And so that speed with which 3D computer graphics and compute power is increasing is happening at such a rate that what I just described, a state-of-the-art computer with a state-of-the-art video board in it, it's only going to be a couple more years, probably around 2010, before the average computer rolling off of the assembly line has that kind of that kind of power. And to get there, you know, we took a long sort of circuitous route in this industry, and it started with offline rendering. It started with the idea of pre-rendered 3D computer graphics being photographic quality, where it wasn't in real time, but you had a bunch of computers sitting around, or one computer for a very long time, rendering high quality graphics. And in order to show you where we are, And where we're heading in terms of real-time 3D, it's first helpful to take a look at pre-rendered 3D computer graphics. So what I'd like you to do is spend 10 minutes taking a simple quiz, and that quiz should be fun. It is a, is it real or is it a photo? And it's that first link in our synthetic humans notes, and that link says to take this quiz. And you might have to move out of, if you are in mouse view mode, you might have to get out of mouse view so that you can move your mouse. You can just hit escape to get out of mouse view. And then you can move to your web page. Right underneath the introduction section, there is a section called pre-rendered 3D computer graphics. And it says, as opposed to real-time graphics. So it says, you know, pre-rendered stuff has been able to fool us for a long time. If you need some proof, take a look. Here's the quiz. So spend 10 minutes. I'll drop off for 10 solid minutes, and I'll give you a chance to take that quiz and spend 1 minute on each image, a full minute. And that's important. If you blaze through it, you know, you're not going to be giving it the attention that it needs. But there are almost, I think, total of 10 images on that page. Spend a solid minute staring at each one and looking at all the detail. Now, this is what computer graphics people do. They become very sensitive to all the elements of the image, not just a quick glance, but they become very sensitive, and they can very rapidly. Someone very experienced in the computer graphics field could, in a couple of seconds, obtain visually all the information that's going to take you as being new to the field. That it will take you a minute or more, and it might even pick up on things that you would not see. So we're now going to start looking at graphics critically and start to see whether or not they're real or they're fake. So spend 10 minutes, look at that quiz, and look at each image. You have to click on each image. It opens each image up into a big screen, and then examine that. So click on each small image, look at it for a solid minute, then close, and then vote above each of those smaller images. You get to say, is it real or is it a photo? All right, does that sound like a plan for 10 minutes? Everybody okay with that?